Hi, everybody. This is Jay.
And this is Mark.
And we'd like to welcome you to Backstage Pass.
We take you behind the magic and inside Disney history, pulling back the curtains and letting you see the Disney magic and history up close.
With an eclectic mix of entertaining topics, humor, and tons of information and details, we want to keep you learning and smiling.
So here is your Backstage Pass.
Backstage Pass and Inside the Magic are pleased to celebrate the fun of the summer season and present this very special two-part Backstage Pass show. Jay and Mark and the Kingdom of the Crystal Palace. Jay and Mark are meeting together on a beautiful Florida morning at the Crystal Palace restaurant in the Magic Kingdom, Walt Disney World, discussing an upcoming episode of Backstage Pass.
So, the Indiana Jones ride, the Temple of the Forbidden Eye, had a groundbreaking in 1993 and was opened in 1995.
Right. Hey, can you pass that pepper?
Sure.
Thanks. They have 17 patented enhanced motion control ride vehicles, made to look like World War II troop transports.
Right. Three rows of four seats, just like the dinosaur ride here at Disney's Animal Kingdom.
They move pretty fast for what is basically a dark ride, about 14 miles an hour through a 2,500-foot track for a little over a three-minute ride. The vehicles here in the States use oil-filled hydraulics, and the ones at the Temple of the Crystal Skull at Tokyo Disney Sea use electromagnetic actuators, since the Disneyland ones leak so much. I think they've even toyed with the idea of using dyes in the oil to see if they could track which vehicle was leaking, but if two oil colors mixed, they really couldn't pinpoint which cars were giving them trouble.
Wow. Hey, here's some notes I took. The vehicles have their own onboard ride control and audio systems, with programming capable of some 160,000 combinations. Tony Baxter, a senior VP at WDI, said, "I think the key word for the attraction is variability. We've created a ride system that can provide a different and unpredictable experience every 18 seconds. For this adventure, it was really important for us to take our effects technology to a new level of reality," adds Baxter. "From the minute you leave the station, the whole attraction experience is being centered around your vehicle."
These eggs are really good. Oh, hey, there's Winnie the Pooh. The ride's story is set in 1936, and supposedly an ancient Indian temple was buried in a flood and was recently discovered by Jones. It contains countless intriguing artifacts, but the real treasures are those offered by the goddess Mara, a Hindu goddess of death, actually. She offers all who come to the temple one of three gifts: earthly riches, eternal youth, or visions of the future. But there's a price to pay if you look into her eyes. Jones's funding is now run out, and he and Sala begin conducting tours to try and raise additional money to continue their research. Of course, good fortune comes to those tourists who survive, but some have not returned. The families of the missing have begged Jones to help, and he's indeed ventured deep into the temple and has not reappeared since. Although looking for the lost, Jones also hopes to discover the Jewel of Power, a gem of immense energy believed to be stored in a huge cavern guarded by the Gates of Doom. Now, with tourists and Jones missing, Marcus Brody has asked Sala to again resume the tours in the hopes that someone may come across both the lost tourists and Jones.
If you look at some of the original drawings for the ride, early concepts include combining the troop transport ride with the runaway mine train ride into Flames and bringing the Disneyland Railroad and the Jungle Cruise into the ride building, but those concepts were eventually dropped. Imagineers were committed, however, to making the ride one that would be able to be as fast-paced and as variable as the indie movies. Tony Baxter said, "I can't tell you how much I love those films, and what intrigued me about them is that they are so fast-paced and surprises are everywhere. Rides, on the other hand, are very controlled, and I wonder if we could create one that every time you ride it, it's different and you don't know what to expect. You're going into a different door from the last time you rode it, etc. It was probably the most challenging attraction, and it came out very well. Most of the things that we experimented with came out as well as we'd hoped,
The ride brims with special effects. One interesting effect is the choice of doors that Mara offers at the beginning of the ride.
Oh yeah, the Chamber of Destiny, with the doors that lead to the Hall of Promise. As your transport leaps forward, you are presented with three doors, which will lead to either the Fountain of Youth, the Chamber of Earthly Riches, or the Observatory of the Future. One of the doors begins to glow brightly, and Mara announces your gift.
You seek the treasure of Mara, glittering gold. It is yours. You have chosen wisely. This path leads to timeless youth and beauty. You seek the future. I will lift the curtain of time. It is your destiny.
Did you know that there's actually only one door?
What?
There's actually only one door and one room behind it. Imagineering constructed the chamber so it can rotate, with the walls and ceiling rotating over the working door, with two facades on each side of the real door. The fake doors even have tracks leading up to them. Once you enter the Hall of Promise, it will be lit differently to match the choice you received. If you enter the Fountain of Youth, the tunnel is filled with blue and green light and water reflections. Scrims in the room are lit from the front, depicting people drinking the water and becoming young and beautiful. If you've been given earthly riches, yellow lighting is employed in the same room and the scrims are backlit, now masking the paintings on front and lighting up a large amount of gold and treasures behind them. If you're given the Observatory of the Future, the scrims are darkened, the vehicles tilt up, and you see some 5,000 fiber optic stars overhead.
Wow, that's awesome. Hey, could you pass me that syrup?
Sure. Those Mickey waffles look good.
Man, I have been waiting for a taste of these.
Sir, bad waffles. The frightened cast member pointed to a now still figure on the ground, clutching a half-eaten waffle.
Huh? Winnie!
You are too close to the secret. They will do anything to stop you. You are in grave danger, as are those you must rescue.
What? What do you mean?
They are down below in the old parts of the Utilidor system.
You mean the system of tunnels that run under the entire Magic Kingdom?
Yes, but be very careful. The old parts of the tunnels are in bad repair, and they have set traps in some parts to stop you. Here, use this map. We have marked out some clues to get past certain points. Some of us have risked everything to get this to you. You must go through the hidden door, in the back of the kitchen, behind the rolling shelves. Here is the key to the door.
Ah! Look, a red-feathered poison dart in his neck.
You must go now! Ah!
Let's get out of here, come on! Watch out, someone's shooting at us!
Excuse us, coming through! Ooh, sorry. Hey. You're not allowed in here. Hey! Here, Mark, through here. Let's get these shelves out of the way.
Here, look. It's a door. Here's a keyhole.
Come on, get it open. Hurry up. Go, go. All right. What is going on here?
He said there was some secret and we needed to rescue someone.
Who could he mean?
Well, all we know for sure is we can't go back that way.
They proceeded down the tunnel. The passage ahead was dimly lit by small gas lamps with very low flames, situated along the damp walls, years of dust crunching beneath their feet. The path continued to descend and twist and narrow, until it finally ended at a heavy wooden door. Iron bars reinforced the well-worn timbers.
Hey, listen. Water.
They pushed open the heavy door. The air was thick and damp. Inside was an expansive circular opening lined with riveted metal plates. Above, the ceiling rose into inky blackness. Gas lamps with small glass globes ringed the walls, stretching up until they faded like stars in the night sky. Below the ledge where the path had abruptly ended was a huge pool of murky black water.
Well, that doesn't look very promising, does it? Hey, what part of the Utilidor system is this?
I don't know. This map is kind of sketchy.
You know, this doesn't look like any part of the Utilidors I've seen. It's too run down and filled with water.
Hang on, there's a dusty old sign here. There's an arrow pointing ahead. Let me see if I can read it. 220...
20,000 leagues under the sea?
This must be the long-lost Utilidor pathway that led to the lagoon area of the 20,000 leagues under the sea.
Yeah, before they filled in the lagoon and Winnie the Pooh took over.
They must have drained all the lagoon water down into here and then closed it off.
I wonder if we'll encounter any giant squid while we're here.
They're gaining on us. We have to find a way around this. We can't go back that way.
In the dim light, they make out large shapes churning in the water below.
Hey, I was joking about the giant squid. It couldn't be, could it? Wasn't that just an animatronic?
No, look, it's some kind of giant freshwater eel. Look at the size. That's amazing.
Eels. Why did it have to be eels? There doesn't appear to be a way across, Mark.
Let's see that map. Maybe there's some clue or note. Here. Yeah, here. Look at this. In water dark, the path will be clear. On the serpent's ledge, it will appear.
Some help.
Look along that right side there. You see there's some kind of carving in the metal plates.
Oh, yeah, I see it now. Hey, it looks like one of those eels.
Right.
Hey, Serpent's ledge! Man, there must be a way over there. Here, there's a concealed ledge. Here, hold my backpack.
Be careful, I don't want you to become Eel Chow.
Yeah, right now I wish I was Tinkerbell.
Jay made his way carefully along the edge, eels surfacing in a tangle of thick, sinewy bodies, their jaws lined with nasty rows of razor-like teeth.
Careful!
Help! Oh, I'm all right. Hey, there's a hidden panel here. Some kind of switch. There!
The glass globes flared brightly as a huge volume of water began to bubble up in the center of the circular pool.
You did it! Look, the water's going down!
Shafts of light cut through the water as some openings appeared under the water's surface.
Hey, look! The eels are leaving. They're being carried out the openings by the draining water.
The water continued to drain, and some type of dark, submerged pump machinery emerged from the cavern floor. A few eels writhed helplessly on the now dry stone floor.
Jay, there's another door. It was underwater over there. There's steps going down below you there.
Jay and Mark climbed down the chamber walls and made it to the floor, avoiding the jaws of the few breached remaining eels thrashing around in the few inches of remaining water. The pump whined and shook ominously in the cavernous center. The heavy metal door looked like a large hatch from an old submarine. A rusty wheel covered in a green slime was in the door's center. Mark tried the wheel, but it would budge.
Come on, let's get this open.
Here, Mark, let's try this iron pipe in the door handle. Maybe it'll help us turn it.
Just a little more.
Suddenly, the pump in the center of the room began a loud mechanical wail and began to shudder violently.
Uh-oh. Come on.
The sound grew deafening, then the pump exploded, sending pieces of metal shrapnel into the air. One particularly sharp and nasty piece hitting the wall near Jay's head.
Okay, that was way too close.
Several enormous streams of water burst forth high into the air, the jets hitting the walls of the chamber, blowing apart the numerous glass globes.
Mark, look out for the glass.
Come on, we have to get this open.
The booming water was now also allowing the once hapless eels to begin to move toward the door.
One more pull.
The wheel suddenly gave way and the door opened. Horrendous mechanical howls and shrieks echoed throughout the chamber as water and glass fragments created a whirling cyclone. Mark and Jay lunged through the opening.
We need to get it shut!
Watch out, Mark!
A huge eel positioned itself just inside the frame and lunged at Mark, its razor-like teeth snapping with a wet, slapping sound.
Whoa! Hey, look out, Mark!
Jay sidekicked the eel back out the door, carefully avoiding its wickedly hooked jaw. The eel had no sooner been pushed into the flooding chamber when a huge volume of water, under high pressure, blasted through the opening, blowing the door fully open and slamming Mark against the wall. Jay tried avoiding the full force of the blast pressed against the inner wall.
Mark!
We've got to get this door closed or this chamber will flood as well!
Mach and Jay struggled against the now surging water and pushed the door closed, leaning their full weight against the cold metal until the door was repositioned into the frame.
Okay, we got it. Now just spin the wheel and lock it shut.
Pushing against the door with all of his might, Mach spun the reciprocal wheel on the inside to engage the pinions. This side of the wheel turned much easier, and he watched the large metal latches slide into position, reinforcing the door against the weight of water, now refilling the chamber behind.
Whew. We made it.
Wow, that was fun.
Yeah, just great. Well, at least we weren't eel bait. All right, come on, let's go.
Jay and Mach picked themselves up from the passage floor, and Jay slung his now dripping pack over his shoulder. They looked down the darkened tunnel ahead, the gas lights dimming as the passage progressed into blackness. Jay looked across the floor by the door and saw a wooden box.
Hey, look! It says supplies. Hey, it might be something we'll need.
He opened it. Inside, numerous small wooden torches, still dry, lay in rows, each torch head wrapped in strips of old cloth.
Here, Mark. This may come in handy. It looks kind of dark up ahead.
The old cloth lit quickly, the spreading flame casting a shadowy orange glow against the rock walls.
Come on.
The passage grew darker as the gas flames died out completely, the hiss of the torch flame a lonely obbligato to the echoing sound of water dripping down the passage walls. They moved forward more slowly, the passage meandering endlessly. The tunnel narrowed and turned sharply to the right. Dark rectangular recesses, each capped with a thick metal lattice ahead, punctuated the sides of the walls. As they stepped forward, a sudden sharp blast of air blew out the flame, plunging them into darkness.
Oh, that's nice.
It's all right. The torch went out. Blasts of air are coming out of these openings in the wall.
Jay reached out and placed his hand on one of the grates lining the wall.
Hey, I can feel pulses of air.
The torch hadn't stood a chance.
Maybe someone wants us to be in the dark.
They continued forward, feeling along the walls. Mark stepped forward and suddenly felt the floor drop slightly beneath his feet.
Watch out!
He was certain he had triggered some type of trap. He dropped the spent torch and froze in place, bracing for impact and expecting the worst.
Uh-oh.
Mark waited for the telltale clank of machinery springing the trap, but nothing happened.
It's all right, I don't think anything happened.
No! Mark, look!
Shapes were beginning to coalesce in the darkness ahead of them. Lighted patterns shifted and bent out and into focus, then became clearer as the path ahead grew brighter.
Stairs!
A luminous staircase proceeded into a glowing greenish mist almost straight down. There were no handrails. Each step sparkled in different colors and shimmered as if it were made of a pure gemstone. The stairs descended into the depth of the chasm below, fading into a distant oblivion.
Wow, those are cool looking. They remind me of the gems from the Seven Dwarves Mine in Snow White's Scary Adventure. Hey, come on, let's see where they lead.
Jay, wait. Something's not quite right here.
Mark knelt down and placed his hand on one of the glistening steps. His hand passed right through the step.
Whoa, it's a fake. That's why somebody wanted us in the dark.
Mark leaned over the edge and saw a gridwork of beams and mirrors. A certain number of the stairs were real, the rest an elaborate optical illusion.
Most are just reflections. We have to be careful.
A few real stairs were set on top of metal arms which extended from the gridworks. From the top, it was impossible to know which stairs were solid and which were simply ghostly images. One step in the wrong spot, and they would simply drop into the abyss below.
Well, here's the map. It got a little wet. The clue says, down you may descend, the right path will shine in fear. Three, then two, will make the way clear.
All right, so this step is solid. Then we go down three, and then down two.
Right.
Mark took the first step onto the small luminescent square. It held.
Now down three, then two. This one's easy to see, Jay. There's water dripping down on the step from somewhere up above. Down three, down two, three, then two, three, two. All right, Jay, come on. I'm getting toward the bottom here.
Jay traversed the same steps.
The one with the water dripping on it is easy to see.
As Jay put his weight on the step snapped, pitching him forward.
Jay
fell forward, clutching the air, hitting one of the steps below, bending the mirrored panel beneath him. The strap of his pack caught on the now exposed U-bar of the stair support frame, wrenching his shoulder as the pack caught his full weight.
Jay, hang on!
Jay was dazed for a moment, his feet swinging wildly in the nothingness beneath him. He heard a sharp tear begin along his pack, and he struggled to grab onto a nearby step.
Uh-oh.
Try and grab the frame!
Jay's wrenched shoulder ached as he swung his leg onto the beam, the inky blackness below tugging at him, begging him to give into gravity. He fought and struggled up onto the middle, coming face to face with the stair support, wet with the water drops that were still falling from above. The top had flaked and completely sheared off when he had stepped on it.
Rust! It was rusted! Almost lost me there.
Are you okay?
Yeah. Sore, but I'm all right.
Here, throw the pack.
All right, let's get off these steps.
Jay worked his way down the stairs to the bottom.
Made it.
The passageway ahead of them continued to angle down, the floor becoming more cracked. In some places, panels and loose rock had sheared off and were strewn haphazardly across the passage. They picked their way carefully, trying to watch for any additional traps. This entire part of the Utilidor was old and dangerous, and it worried them both.
I wonder what part of the Magic Kingdom we're underneath now.
I'm just not sure. It looks like we're moving downward instead of outward now.
The passageway narrowed and finally ended at a curving, dark metal staircase that wound its way down even deeper into the earth below.
Oh, great. More stairs.
Whoa.
The dark shape spiraled into the dimly lit pit below. Although hard to see by the flickering gas lamps, it looked like it finally ended at another darkened tunnel far below.
Seems okay. The clues don't mention anything.
Jay began down the dusty metal stairs.
So far, so good.
But as Jay put his foot on the next stair, he heard a quiet clanking, softly pinging and echoing in the shaft. He froze, listening, trying to place the location.
Jay, are you all right?
Suddenly, there was an ear-splitting roar as every metal step along the entire spiral tipped down in succession with a metallic clap. Jay cried out.
Whoa!
He fell backwards, the steps now forming a slide, each step blending seamlessly with the next.
Mark!
Jay, grab onto something!
Whoa. Jay slid forward and down, trying to stabilize his descent by grabbing onto the central pole, but he was going too fast, spiraling around and around in dizzying circles.
Can't stop!
The metal burned as he spiraled down, the gas lamps becoming a single blur as he sped down the incline, hitting the sides and scrambling to maintain control, but it was a lost cause.
When is this thing going to...
End.
He finally reached the bottom, somewhere inside a new darkened passage. Jay lay there stunned, his pack laying next to him, the contents strewn out to his right. Suddenly, Mark flew past him, rolling to an undignified stop, arms flailing.
Mark?
I'm okay.
Mark brushed himself off and stiffly bent down, gathering Jay's pack contents.
Mark!
No, really, I'm all right.
Mark!
Mark felt a cold chill as he slowly turned around and looked into the large cavern ahead, which was gradually being illuminated by the gas lamps mounted on the walls. A huge stone carving lay on its stomach, in water a short distance before them, the massive snarling carved face bent forward, facing them. Two giant fists lay embedded in the rock, stretched out on each side of the figure. The statue was large, even laying down, partially covered by water. The carving looked primitive, the closed eyes capped by thick stone brows, the boxy rough carved ears fit with stone earrings.
It looks ancient.
Looks familiar.
Maybe the Temple of Mara at Disneyland's Indiana Jones Adventure? But why would it be down here?
Mark stepped cautiously toward the statue, when suddenly the entire cavern shook with a deep mechanical growl, the thunderous sound shaking the walls and floor, virtually knocking Mark and Jay off of their feet. The gas lamps erupted in spectacular flames, blowing the glass globes apart in a shower of sparkling glass shards.
Oh, not again.
Clouds of dust rose up as rocks and debris cascaded down from the ceiling far overhead. And Jay backed away as they saw the statue's eyes snap open, the entire stone mass rising out of the pool, water cascading down its surface as it pushed up against the tightly clenched fists.
I don't think she's here to give us any treasure, Mark.
The mechanical monstrosity slowly rose up to its full height, raising its fists into the air. As it reached its full height, its eyes now began pulsing white. It tilted its head back and the jaws opened, emitting a blood-curdling, screaming roar that rattled the entire structure. Suddenly, the statue's arms rose, the massive fists rising into the air, and they slammed into the cave floor with a thunderclap that rippled across their chests. The floor fractured under their feet in a thousand different directions, steam rising from the cracks and sharp blasts that traveled the entire length of the fractures. Mark and Jay tried to pin themselves against the wall, trying to stay out of the way of the steam and rock fragments that were singing through the chamber.
Jay, get back!
The fractures multiplied crack upon crack until the floor couldn't support itself and sections on either side of them collapsed into steaming pools, leaving a thin, raised stone path. The monster leaned forward, pinning them against the wall. Mark felt the hair on the back of his neck stand up as the giant stirred, looking down at them, its eyes suddenly turning a pulsating red. As suddenly as it had begun, it had all stopped.
Hey, what happened?
I think the thing went 101.
Yeah, let's hope there's not a repair crew.
With that, a white-suited figure appeared from the shadows.
Yep, I spoke too soon.
Well, well, well! What have we here?
You never saw. Our archenemy against all things Disney.
Ah, if it isn't my two friends from the backstage pus.
That's pass. Backstage pass.
Ah, whatever. I thought the poisoned waffles would have taken care of you two troublemakers already.
We should have known you were behind this, Neversol.
So you like my audio animatronic, eh? Quite impressive, no? It is made from the old King Kong ride armature. Runs on a submerged track. Scary, huh?
Neversol's two goons, Hugo and Victor, also appear from the shadows, each holding very large pistols, pointed menacingly at Mark and Jay.
Take our two nosy friends to the control room.
Okay, boss, come on you.
Hey, look, Tinkerbell!
I ain't falling for it this time.
Hugo hit Jay on the head with the butt of his pistol. Darkness. All around Jay was a hazy, thick darkness, thick and impenetrable. He tried to push himself up, but something was holding him, resisting his efforts. Darkness. He sighed heavily, his head pounding to the strange sounds he could hear echoing somewhere in the inky blackness. Darkness. Then a small thought occurred to him, threading its way from neuron to neuron in the back of his brain. It pulled on tiny bits of information, wringing them out of the internal fog, where it finally coalesced into an actual idea.
Open your eyes.
Jay slowly tried to comply, but his lashes rebelled, glued together with some gritty substance. He grimaced as the lashes painfully parted, allowing a dazzling light to pierce into his skull.
Hey, I was getting worried about you.
What happened? Oh, man, my head.
Yeah, you've got a cut there. Neversol's moron clocked you with his pistol.
Oh, man. Where are we?
We're in Neversol's control room underground here somewhere.
Man.
And we're not alone.
Who else is here?
The rest of the Inside the Magic team.
What? Ricky and Ben are here?
He's got them in holding cells down there.
What does he want with all of us?
While you were out, I overheard them talking. He's got some stupid plan of replacing Inside the Magic with...
Hey! Pipe down, you two, or I'm getting rough.
Mark and Jay were seated on two old wooden chairs lashed back to back with coarse ropes set into the middle of the cave. Electronics equipment hugged the walls, monitors and screens glowing in the garish fluorescent lighting. Across the room, Neversol was prodding Inside the Magic's host, who was also tied to a chair with a large microphone just inches from his face.
Now, Mr. Briganti, just like we rehearsed, huh? Or your lively friend will, well, cease being so lively, huh?
Neversol pointed across the room at Skipper Ben, who was being held against the wall by Hugo. A gun wavered in his hand as Ben struggled to break free.
Watch it!
Can I shoot him, boss? Huh? Can I?
No, you idiot, I said to hold him! Now, Mr. Briganti, read this if you please. Close to the microphone, please. We want you to sound good, no?
All right. This is a message to all of my loyal listeners of Inside the Magic. Although I have been a Disney fan for many years, I have been more and more saddened by the decline of the Disney theme parks recently.
Don't do it, Ricky!
Hey, quiet, yous!
So, I have decided to re-theme Inside the Magic.
Go on.
And focus solely on the greatest theme parks in the world.
Yes, say it.
The Universal Studios.
Ha ha ha! See, that wasn't so hard. Hugo, Victor, I want you to deal with those two pathetic backstage puss troublemakers and lose them in the pit.
Right. Okay, boss. Come on, you. I'm gonna untie you two and get moving. No funny stuff.
All right. You don't have to push.
Neversol's goons led Mark and Jay out of the control room and down the corridor's angled path.
Keep moving. It's gonna be fun to push yous into the bottomless pit, just like you threw me from that train.
We'll like to listen to you scream for a long, long time until it finally fades to nothing.
Lovely. Hey, I'm going. Don't shove.
Jay, listen.
Sounds like drums. We must be somewhere under Adventureland now.
The four walked down the path until they came to an opening cut out of the rock. A small ramp covered in a layer of dust ended abruptly.
Okay, we're here.
Hey, say your prayers.
A huge chasm lay in front of the group. The chasm below was filled with an ominous blackness that seemed to extend to the center of the earth.
Any last words, you guys?
Mark dropped to his knees with a pleading look on his face.
Please don't hurt me. Or Tinkerbell here.
What? We're about to fall to our doom and you're still making fun of me about that?
Jay, think about Tinkerbell.
What? Oh, right.
Jay bent down, and suddenly both Mark and Jay grabbed handfuls of the fine dust on the ramp, throwing it into the faces of Victor and Hugo.
Hey!
The two staggered back and knocked each other off the ramp and into oblivion.
Wow, a little pixie dust in your dreams do come true.
I was just hoping to get their guns, but, I guess that's the end of those two.
Jay and Mark looked at each other and knew what they had to do.
We need to go back and rescue them, Jay.
Right behind you, buddy. Let's go get them.
Jay and Mark worked their way back up the tunnel and crouched down near the control room.
All right, he's right around the corner. Are you ready?
Oh yeah, I'm ready.
I can't wait to get my hands on Neversol.
On three. One, two, three!
Neversol!
What? How did you escape? You two ruined everything, but not this time.
Neversol turned and grabbed the laptop on the table with Ricky's recordings, pulling a small pistol from his jacket pocket, firing indiscriminately as he ran out of the room and down the corridor.
Watch out!
Guys, are we glad to see you two?
Mark touched a control panel and the cell doors opened.
Come on, guys, let's get him.
The group proceeded quickly down the dimly lit utilidor passage. The faint sounds of Neversol's maniacal laughter rang out in the distance. The group came to the same dead end at the chasm where Hugo and Victor had met their demise.
Well, now what?
Look! Up there!
Some kind of hatch in the ceiling.
A moment's looking revealed a cleverly concealed ladder reaching upward.
I knew there had to be another way out of here. Let's go.
The group, one after another, ascended the ladder and exited through the hatch.
Whoa, this exit's right by Schweitzer Falls. That's crazy. Keep an eye out, boys. He can't get very far.
He's got to be around here somewhere.
Hey, there he is, across the bank.
He's getting away. Jay, what are you doing?
Jay suddenly grabbed a nearby vine.
I don't know. I'm making this up as I go.
Jay swung across the river, knocking the laptop from Neversol's hands, before slamming, dazed, into the set wall.
Well, that felt great.
No! The computer! The recordings! You idiot!
Neversol grabbed a nearby tree branch and pulled it down.
All right. You win this time, backstage puss, but I shall return.
The branch was actually a concealed switch. Another door opened under the foliage, and Neversol was gone.
Wow. He's gone, huh?
Oh, well. Hey, let's get out of here before they put me to work.
Exhausted after their adventure, the Inside the Magic team made their way out of the jungle.
Great job nailing his computer like that!
Yeah, that was some pretty fast thinking with the old vine there, Indy.
Yeah, maybe Indy here needs a whip. A Dole Whip. I'm buying.
All right, but I better be getting a Dole Whip float.
Come on now, those are the expensive ones.
If you'd like to see our source information for this topic or have questions or comments, please join us on the Inside the Magic forums in the Backstage Pass with Jay and Mark section. This is Jay.
And this is Mark saying we'll see you next time, backstage.